is kind of like riding a bull in a china shop. And so it really took a solid year of being with Karen, just holding my hand and telling me, like, it's okay, you're going to get it. And I'm not letting you give up on this horse, and I'm not letting you give up on yourself, because there were many days where I sat there thinking I wouldn't want to do it anymore.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, as usual, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mane and Tail, Karen.
Only the best.
Only the best. We love Mane and Tail. You know, we always talk about all the different horse products that Mane and Tail puts out, but you know what? They do have a full line of beauty products for you and me, Karen.
They sure do.
So do you have a favorite product that you'd like to use for Mane and Tail?
I think I would have to say it's the hair strengthener.
The hair strengthener. I've definitely seen that on your beauty counter.
I love using it. I tell you what, it really has strengthened my hair. I have less split ends, and it's actually, I get a little thin in certain areas, and it's actually been growing.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I know you've always complained about, you know, your hair being a little thin, and you're always picking at your split ends and all that stuff. So, and I see you using this, and I do see an improvement. So let's hear all about it, Karen.
So it is a daily protective and fortifying leave-in treatment for stronger, healthier hair. It nourishes and repairs. It provides essential protection to help prevent split ends. Protects hair strands from heat and chemical styling, which I do a lot. I do a lot of that. Provides additional moisturizing and conditioning protection. It is alcohol-free, and it's safe and gentle for all hair types.
That's wonderful. So, like I say, I know you've been using it and you love it. And we asked the folks over at Mane and Tail, hey, can we talk about the beauty products, because they are so fantastic. So, because the audience, the horses aren't listening, Karen.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? It's the people. So I use the products, you use the products. So we're going to start, you know, mixing in some of the beauty products along with the horse care line. So check it out at maneandtail.com if you want to learn more about the products. And we just got to say thanks again to Mane and Tail for all their support over the years. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there. Mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
TripleCrownFeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Trish Scott has got us covered, and she can cover you too. She took care of our horse, off the track thoroughbred Mercury, ridden by our son Joe. Trish is with us to talk a little bit about equine insurance. Trish, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ralph. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. You increased our horse's value. Can you tell us a little bit about why we had to increase his value?
Well, the biggest thing is that you bought him a year ago. Joe's been working with him directly, taking him to all these shows, exposing him, training him, the monthly fees, the daily work. So all that training that he's done, all the showing that he's done, how where he's placed, I was able to approach several different carriers. Praetorian is where he is right now. And just by showing them his records, his training fees, I was able to substantially really increase Mercury's value, because that's a whole year of training and showing under his, you know, that Joe has been doing with him, that you now have insured, you know, under this policy with Praetorian.
Gotcha. So, hey, it's important to make sure that your horse is properly valued when you're insuring them. So, Trish, if people wanted to talk to you about their insurance for their equine friends, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, just call myself. The best way to reach me is 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen, and we are your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And this week, Robbie, we have another special guest.
Yes.
So we'd like to welcome four-star rider Samantha Tinney. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be on here.
Yeah. We are very excited to finally meet you. We heard you've been a fan of ours for a while, so glad to have you on.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait.
So, Samantha, before we get into everything, we always love to find out where our guests are coming from. So where are you coming to us from?
I am coming from the rental house in Ocala, Florida. I would come from the farm, but we don't have great service. So this is the only option.
Nice. So, okay. So are you just in Ocala for the winter or year round?
I've got a farm here, but usually I'm here full time. And now this summer I'm going to Virginia for 6 months, which is really exciting.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll get into all that. So that sounds exciting. We'll find out everything you got going on today. But before we do, can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yes. So it's probably the most like unorthodox story. I was playing soccer at quite a high level and fully planned on going to college on a scholarship for that. So I really didn't start riding until very late in my life. I was probably 14 years old, like freshman in high school. And that's kind of when it gets really hard with, you know, soccer and the pressure of scholarships and whatnot. And my friend could tell I was very bummed out. So she was like, you know, like, why don't you come like watch one of my lessons? And I was like, okay. And I'd always loved animals, but I really didn't know anything about horses. And I went to her lesson and she was jumping. I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so I started taking lessons kind of once a week as like a hobby just for fun. And I like learned how to trail ride and like walk, trot, canter. And I just loved it. I was pretty addicted at that point. And my dad, he's a 2-time professional athlete himself. And he's very like, you're 100% in it, you're not in it at all. And so he was like, if you're going to like learn how to jump, then we need to put you in a program where it's very professional and you like learn the right way. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, people he grew up with ended up owning this equestrian facility that used to be a motocross track. And so we called them and they invited us over to meet the trainer and see the facility and see what it's like. And as we're driving down the driveway, I just remember like looking to my right and seeing them jump cross country. And I was like, okay, that is so cool. I want to do that. And so I started taking lessons at this program, and I had just learned to walk, trot, canter. Like I was very beginner. And still playing soccer and riding once a week. And lucky enough, they had this huge program of school horses. And so I started taking lessons like 3 times a week here and on all these different school horses. And I did that for probably 6 months and taught me how to jump and everything. And my dad was like, okay, like maybe it's time for you to like finally have your own horse. And I was lucky enough that in the barn, we had a horse named Might Be Regal, who actually won Young Riders way back in the day for lease. And so I started leasing him, and he took me through starter through novice and was such a great teacher to me. And he was 22 at the time, so he was slowing down in his life. And about, I think, 7 or 8 months of having him, my trainer is like, okay, like, you clearly like it. I think we should really, like, buy you a horse. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, I told her, I was like, I do not want mares. I want no part of them. I did not like them. And we go horse shopping in Ocala, and I buy a 6-year-old mare from Joe Meyer, who was way over my head. Had no business riding her. I'm pretty sure like the first 6 months I had her, I got bucked off like every jump lesson because she was very feisty. And that mare ended up being one of the best horses I'll ever have in my career. She won everything she went to, and took me from novice to running around my first few prelims, not very successfully, which is not her fault. And then she ended up contracting a really horrible neurological disease and had to finish her career out in eventing because she couldn't see very well. And around this time, I met Lauren Lambert, who is now a really big trainer in Texas. But at the time, no one knew who she was because she had just moved there after she got married. And she's originally from Kentucky, and she's a very accomplished rider herself. You know, has gone 4-star, won Young Riders, and her mom's run around, I think, 3 5-stars in her life. And I ended up moving into her program, and that was very eye-opening for me. And I owe her so much because she really is the reason I wanted to do it professionally. You know, she took me everywhere with her, and we had this one-on-one time all the time. So I was able to learn at a much faster rate than I would if I was in a huge program. And the first probably 6 months I was with Lauren, I really didn't have a horse to ride because this mare was very injured at the time, basically. And she sure enough found my longtime partner, Glenbrook Cooley, from Will and Katie's working student, sure enough. And after 6 months of having this mare, I got to take her to Young Riders, where she got fourth individually, which was super cool to have her and, you know, take her to her first two-star. And we did everything together and moved up together, which was really awesome. And I got to move her up to our first intermediate and our first three-stars and first three longs. And, you know, she just kind of kept showing up for me and getting a little bit better, which was crazy because none of us thought she'd go intermediate. She wasn't very athletic, bless her. But, and then in 2020, I ended up having a young horse that we ended up getting, and he was very much not my ride. I was not very good with him. And Lauren had this great idea. She's like, well, let me call Sinead Halpin at the time, who had Cuddy Sark. And she was having trouble selling him, and I was having trouble selling mine. And we were like, okay, why don't we do a trade? Like, you ride this horse better, and I like Cuddy. And she took a chance on me and did a fair swap and traded horses because I could not afford a horse like him. And so I ended up getting the ride on Cuddy Sark, which was really special, which I know now. Then I did not know. And two shows in, I ended up having a really bad accident and put myself in the hospital for quite a bit. I just flipped over the last jump because I was a little bit out of control. And 2 weeks before that, actually, I was taking a lesson with Karen O'Connor, and she very much told me, you need to learn how to ride this horse because you're going to get yourself hurt. And man, was she right. And so shortly after that, I had my bad fall and had to take a substantial amount of time off from riding. And I just remember being in the hospital room, and I called Karen in tears, and I was like, okay, like, you were right, and I need help, and I need to learn from someone that can teach me how to ride a horse like this, because we are very behind. And she was like, I asked her, you know, point blank, like, would you take me? I'll do anything. I'll, you know, work off anything I can't afford. And she was so kind and said, you know, we'll take you in a heartbeat. And I asked her when I could come, and she was so funny. She was like, you know, maybe like take a few weeks to like actually recover, as I couldn't really do much. And sure enough, I 4 weeks later packed my entire life in my trailer and moved to Ocala, Florida, which my dad was really not a fan of, but he let it happen anyway. And it was prime COVID at this time. So right. I wasn't in school, and I was supposed to be playing soccer, but obviously with COVID, you can't. So like, if I was a time I could go be a working student right now, would be that time. And so I moved to Ocala, Florida, and worked for Karen and David for a year, which was really special, you know, learning how to break horses and having that experience with both of them, you know, behind the scenes, and with Mia, you know, she's just as amazing as well. It was very eye-opening and life-changing. And I was only supposed to stay for a year until kind of COVID calmed down. And sure enough, I never left. So I kind of said goodbye to my scholarship for college for soccer and said, I don't really want to do it anymore. And I would much rather ride horses professionally, or at least try to. And at that point, my dad was like, okay, like, that's great. But if you're going to do this professionally, like, my one deal with you is I will not support you financially whatsoever if you don't get the degree. And so I made that deal with him, and Karen was very, you know, amazing about it, like letting me work while being in night school, which is really not fun. But we made it work, and she was very supportive of it as well. And after a year of working with them, I found myself in Leslie Law's program. And with them, I was there for probably, I think, 3.5 years. And, you know, both of them were so amazing. They taught me all about, like, what it was like to ride horses at the four-star level, and, you know, Leslie took me around my first advance and my first year at Four Star and was there every step of the way, which was really life-changing, to be honest, to have his opinion and everything, but also to like see kind of the behind the scenes of what it's like to work with the teams and how his job at USEF works. It was very cool to, you know, to be a part of it. And then in December of 2023, I started working with Will and Katie Coleman. And that's where I am now, full time, which has been awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Goodness. All right, let's go back. We got to go back. So, where did you grow up in?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-oh. Very small area.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, then we're good. Okay, you're good.
Most people from Dallas really are not Cowboys fans.
Really?
That's like, funny.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm definitely not a Cowboys fan.
So you were into soccer, and then at around 14, you started taking riding lessons.
Yes. It's
and
crazy.
You must have progressed like super fast. I mean, you kind of made it like, yeah, just did trail rides and walk, trot, canter, la da da.
And then I got fourth at Young Riders.
Yeah.
How old were you when you went to Young Riders, like that first year?
I think I was 16.
My goodness.
The first year.
My goodness. Yeah.
2 years later, going from, you know, trail rides to Young Riders.
I have to say I've had some really lovely horses that and some really wonderful coaches that have made it all possible, because I'm pretty sure I was way more ambitious than I should have been. And they were like, all right, Sam, like, I guess we'll figure it out, but it might not be the best idea. And I just kind of found a way to make it work always, because that's really, I'm a very driven person. So if I have a goal, I kind of want to make it happen.
Yeah, you kind of have to do something like that so fast and do so well at it, too. Wow.
I think it makes sense. I mean, you said that your dad was like, all right, if we're doing this, we're going to go to the right place. Like, I think that's a really big part of it. You know, a lot of people, you know, they kind of just get started, you know,
go to
whatever
the
local place is, just down the road. But, you know, actually seeking out, you know, a good coach, good venue and everything, that definitely sets you up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I think, too, like having him as he's always been a bit of a mentor in my career. Like, even though he never did anything with horses, like, he lived, you know, being a professional athlete since he was 15. So like, he gets it. He gets the world and he gets like the sacrifice it takes. And so he's always been so good about, you know, on the bad days, kind of telling me it's going to be okay and it's going to suck right now, but it will get better. And, you know, he's always been very supportive of like letting me go wherever I thought was best for my career. And even if he didn't think it was the best idea, which I think has really been why it's gone so fast is just his support.
Yeah. Now I did look it up. So he was a professional motocross racer.
Yes. And then when I was, oh gosh, 7, I want to say, he realized like he was going to be a single dad, and he was like, motocross is very dangerous and obviously a young person's sport. And it did not make the money back then that it does now, which is thanks to like the X Games and stuff like that. But he had a sponsor that actually switched to cycling, and they gave him an opportunity to try it and see if he'd like it. And sure enough, he ended up being phenomenal at it. And I think he wins the world championships like 5 times and did the Tour de France and all kinds of stuff. And he's much cooler than I'll ever be. That's for sure.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, so he's into extreme sports himself. What does he think of eventing? Does he think you're crazy?
Yes, he, I think he probably has to hug the nearest jump judge or TD every time I go out across country. But it's so funny because he did try it for a little bit. He took my first mare, All Heart, and I taught him how to jump, and he learned cross rails, and he was like, I don't know how you ever want to do this. And after that, he's like, okay, I'll leave the riding to you. But yeah, he definitely thinks I'm a bit insane.
that's funny coming from someone that is into a different kind of, I mean,
motocross, I feel like is crazy.
Yeah, I feel that's crazier than going cross country on a horse. But here I'm sure it's different for him because you're his daughter. Mm-hmm. If it was himself and he didn't have to worry about anything, it'd probably be completely different.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, his big thing is he really likes having breaks that aren't optional. that was his thing. He didn't like not being in control of like stopping. That was his biggest thing when he tried to ride.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that. He likes having complete control.
Yep.
Not having another brain that can do whatever it wants to do.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes a different kind of horsepower. Yeah. Oh, gosh. And then, then go into the O'Connors. I mean, it's like, okay, Lauren Lambert, I've heard of her. No, she's, I've heard other people say she's an amazing coach. So you had an amazing coach there. And then you go to the O'Connors and it's like, geez.
Yeah.
And you're there for a while. And then you move on to Leslie Law. It's like, come on. Oh, and now Will Coleman.
So,
yeah.
And he's been on fire too right now. So that's definitely a good place to be. Wow.
And like, so at the O'Connors, did you learn, I guess you learned how to like start the babies and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say the first few months at the O'Connors, we got a shipment of probably like 6 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds and from their breeder in Louisiana. And I was still coming about from an injury. So like I didn't necessarily wasn't the guinea pig that got to hop on them, but it was Mia's third year. And David had this whole system, like the first year you're the guinea pig and you're the one that gets thrown up on there and like has to stay on. And then your second year, you are a little bit side by side with him, like learning how the process works of breaking and starting the young horses. And then your third year with them, you do it yourself. And so at this point, Mia was in her third year. And so I got to seriously like watch her from the get-go with each baby break them, which was so cool to like see someone that I've always looked up to doing it herself. Which was really funny too, because we were a little bit like along for the ride. Like we didn't quite know what we were all doing, but it was pretty fun to be a part of it. But that's definitely like one of the biggest things you will learn with them is starting on horses. And David always said, if you can do that, you will always have a job in this industry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like knowing their system first, second mm-hmm. and third years that's,
yeah.
And it makes sense. You know, if you're the newbie, you get the low man on the totem
the fun job.
Pole job. So, okay. So we'll go back to you had a really bad fall cross country mm-hmm. now. And then you were month or two later going to the O'Connors. How were you like mentally to get back on the horse, so to speak, and break babies and get back out there across country?
I think the thing that helped me the most is I was completely knocked out and unconscious. So I don't remember most from that year at all. I had a lot of memory loss from hitting the back of my head so bad. But to be honest, I remember the ambulance driver. I just remember waking up and he was like, do you ever want to ride again? And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, of course I do. But I knew it was my mistake. So I think that did help. And I wouldn't say I was afraid of riding. I was more afraid of making that same mistake. And this time, like one of us didn't walk away from it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I wouldn't say it was ever, I was scared of the cross country because to be honest, that's my favorite part. But I really didn't trust my instincts anymore, which in eventing is very hard. You've got to have that. And I will say that was a very hard point in my life for Karen to take me on because obviously you are not the same as you were before. And luckily I think that was the best person that I probably could have gone to cope with that a little bit because Karen obviously, had a very similar situation that did not end up so lucky and, broke her back pretty seriously. Yeah. And I owe her a lot, she really did. She got me out of this giant hole I had dug myself in. And part of it was, I didn't show for pretty extensive amount of time. I think probably 6 or 7 months because Karen was like, I'm not letting you back on a course if you don't trust yourself. She's like, you've got to know that it was a freak thing and you've gotten so much better. But I think part of it too was, you know, Cuddy didn't trust me and I was a bit naive and just thought, you know, every horse is going to be super easy and you just get on and whip them around. And that was not the case with this horse at all. You know, he was very much a one person horse. He has to trust you to do his job. And if not, he is kind of like riding a bull in a china shop. And so it really took a solid year of being with Karen, just holding my hand and telling me like, it's okay, you're going to get it. And I'm not letting you give up on this horse. And I'm not letting you give up on yourself, because there were many days where I sat there thinking I wouldn't want to do it anymore because I wasn't the same as it was. And she wouldn't let me. She wouldn't let me quit. She wouldn't let me give up on myself. And she was like, every time I fell off or had a bad day and I would, you know, freak myself out a little bit more, she, you know, would tell me, go get on four more horses until you work it out of your system. And I owe her a career for that because she dug me out of a really dark place, which was not easy for her.
Yeah.
Or me.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Now, like, what did she do with your training? That helped you? Like, was there anything, you know, did she take you back to the basics or just say, get out there and just do it? Like, what did she exactly do?
Well, actually my first lesson with Karen, I rode bareback and bridleless on Mouse, my Glenbrook Coulee horse, which is like the most perfect animal. Like you could probably go prelim cross country like that. Like she would tolerate it. And she was like, you just got a little bit learned to just one, have fun with it again. But I think the other thing was, is the horse I had the fall on, who's now my top horse. He is a very tricky ride. And so a lot of the training was, he's incredibly hot and incredibly strong. And she's like, you've got to learn to use those things to your advantage, because right now they're a little bit working against you. And so a lot of it was just pretty much teaching me how to systematically use my aids, like, which sounds so silly, but, and so basic, but I really didn't know how to do it on this horse. You know, every other horse I was fine, and him, you know, you move an inch and he goes a mile. Like it's the craziest thing. And so Karen really had to sit there and be like, okay, you move this, like this many degrees and it's going to cause this effect. And she really taught me how to use my body parts a bit more individually, and not be so like rigid and stiff and set in my ways in my head, because he was just not going to be that horse. He was going to be a horse that I had to change everything and that I knew in order to ride. And so I'd say that was probably the biggest thing that she changed in my riding.
Yeah, that's, yeah, thank you for sharing that, because that's really nice to know. Like, because a lot of people, you know, kids fall off and then they're pretty much done. They want to stop, or they don't know how to get over that mental block because they're thinking they're going to fall again. And no, I think just hearing like what you went through and what Karen did to help you, I think it's would help others.
Yeah.
Try to get through that. Wow.
I think too, like the biggest thing is I had to tell myself and convince myself is I made the mistake once and I survived it. And it was, you know, just a little bit, I got tired and was like, you know, if you want to run off of me, like, I'm going to let you run, and thought he'd back himself off. And he very much did not. I learned my lesson the hard way, obviously. But I think I had to convince myself that I made the mistake. I survived it. And honestly, I think the best thing that happened to me was I fell off a young horse pretty quickly after getting to Karen's and realized, like, you're going to fall down again. Like, it's going to happen. And it's not going to be like that. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I think that is the hardest mental block, is worried that the second you go back out, it's going to do the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Wow. Yeah. And then, like you said, from there, you went to the Laws. Mm-hmm. So how was that experience?
I just adore them. Like, LG is your biggest cheerleader on your good days and like the first person you want to get a hug from on your bad days, which there was many of those. But Leslie, he's so good with the I don't want to say the details, but he's so good with the tricky ones. Like, he just knows how to get in their brain just enough to really get them to work with you. And I think we like very similar horses and we have very similar body styles. So that really helps. Like, I'm very tall, for a girl especially. And he was so good about just getting me to just be more aware of the systematic approach to how I ride every horse. Like, this is how you come and warm up. And this is, you know, how you achieve this. And I would say, like, the biggest thing that I took away from them was they are so good at making everything so simple. And I think that's why people love Leslie, is because he can get your horse to go night and day difference from just three simple little exercises. Like, it's like magic sometimes. Yeah. But I think just having that, you know, system of, this is how I come out every day, I try this to get achieve this, and, you know, like, watching him with produce all of his young horses too, because he produces everything he has, to be honest, was really eye-opening. And then also watching LG, you know, she's so good at going back to the basics, which I think they're so funny. They have such great strengths on their own. Like, LG is really great at making you relive the basics that you sometimes want to pull your hair out. You're like, why am I doing this again? But she's so good at that. And then Leslie, you know, like, you crack on with the details and you go through your tests and he teaches you how to ride more efficiently through a test and how to not throw away points. Being with them for 3 years was amazing. I can't thank them enough.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I know I've said it before, but I just love how he explains things, and I could just sit and watch a lesson all day. I don't care who's riding, but I just love hearing him teach and explain things, because he simplifies it, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. Like, he makes it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, he's saying, oh, I want you to do this. And then he's like, well, this is how you do it. And it's just like, oh.
It's so, he's so funny too. Like, he's like that when he coaches, like, cross country or, like, walks a course. Like, one of us will ask a very, like, not dumb question, but be like, okay, do I have to do this, this, and this leading up to this jump? And he's like, you just jump it like this and it will be fine. Like, he's so good at simplifying things. Yeah. And it really is like a confidence booster, because he's just like, it's a jump. Like, you're going to be fine. Just jump it like this. Don't think too much about it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So I guess that kind of brings us to now. So now you're with Will Coleman. You know, tell us how that's going right now for you.
I have to say they have opened my eyes to things so much beyond riding. And I don't know, like, the best way to explain it, but Will is like the biggest perfectionist in the best way possible. Like, he is, how do I explain this? He, when I first came to him, you know, he was like, you've always been taught how to get it done and how to survive. And he's like, now I want you to teach technique and perfection. And I didn't quite understand it until I started taking lessons with him. And he's so good. Like, I just don't really have words sometimes. I have a light bulb moment every time I have a lesson with him. And it's something so simple. Like, you know, you don't bend your ankles enough when you jump off or when you take off and land. And that's why your horse lands like this. And he's so good about so much more than just the riding. And Katie, like, she doesn't get enough credit, and she's going to giggle when she hears this, but she literally is a wizard on the flat. I cannot explain what she does or how she does it, but I mean, my horse is beyond tricky on the flat because of the way he's built and him mentally. And she is like his new best friend. And they've just been so amazing. And I think they were exactly what I needed in this really hard transition in my career of, you know, trying to go from a young rider to a young professional, of just being more than a coach. Like, they really are like a mentor. And I remember the first thing that Will told me when I got to him, he's like, I'm going to teach you, you know, how to have owners and how to have sponsors and how to, like, make money doing this. Because he's like, I would rather teach you now when you're in your young 20s and set you up for the rest of your career than you be 40 years old and you don't know how to make money and you're on your own and you suddenly don't have anything. And I think having them in this transition has been really life-changing to me, you know, to have someone that I can call at any time of the day and say, hey, you know, how do I do this? Or this horse, you know, seems a bit funny. Like, can you come over? And like, they just are so good at really being a program and seeing everything I do, from the social media to the owners, to the, you know, how I manage my own farm. And they just have been so much more to me than just coaches, which has been amazing.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Like that, I mean, that's super nice of them that they say, hey, we're going to teach you about how to get ownership, how to get sponsors, because that's very important, especially in this sport. You know, like it's hard to make a living in this, and those things are very, very important to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
yeah, it's definitely been like, I really don't have any other way to explain it, as they've just been life-changing. And the people they've introduced me to, like Will is so big on, he always has his own coaches coming in town and like really teaching us more than, you know, just from Will. Like, he's like, I want you to ride on my coaches so I can see how they train you so that I can train you better. And just like little things like that, that you wouldn't quite think of. Or, you know, he's very big on the rider's fitness side of things, which has really been eye-opening to me. but you know, just the biomechanics of the rider fitness, just there's so more than just you get on your horse and this is how you ride it. Which I think I wish everyone in the US could know, because I think if we did that, we'd be a bit unstoppable, but it's been really cool so far.
So rider fitness, what does he have you doing?
So he works with a personal trainer at Quantum Human Performance, and he recommends we all go there. And there's this wonderful guy named Ron, who we call Coach, and he kicks our butts, but he is like personal trainer on steroids. He is so cool and he's so smart, and he does more than just like help us work out. He studies how each one of our body parts move and how mobile they are and how flexible, which like for me is great because I've had a lot of injuries from soccer and riding. And there's so many like little things that you wouldn't think of, but like my ankles, I broke both of them, so they don't work so well. And so like how I land off jumps is actually like inhibiting the way my horse jumps sometimes, because I'm avoiding using the shock in my ankles, and things like that, that Ron has pretty much helped me work on to make them more mobile, which has really improved my riding, like even just in the few months I've been with them. But I would say that's the biggest thing for rider fitness that he recommends.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. That is. Now, are you just like a student of Will's, or do you do any riding for him?
I do not do riding for him. Will's very good at riding his own horses, and he's got like the best grooms in the world. So when he is out of town or something, usually Haley and Aaron and Katie, his wife, will ride them. And in Ocala, I've actually got my own farm. So like I pretty much try to go over there as much as I can. So almost every day. but for the most part, it's just, I take lessons and train with both of them.
Okay.
Gotcha. And with your own farm, like, do you have horses that you have in for training, or are you doing lessons out of there? Like, what do you have going on there?
Kind of all of the above. This winter, it got a bit crazy. I had 5 of my own, and then I had 2 in for sale and 6 boarders on the other side. So it was a bit wild for a while.
Yeah, that's big.
But I'm happy to do anything. You know, I really enjoy all of it, and I am definitely getting more into coaching because I just love it. And I love helping people. But I'd say for now, it's the biggest thing is just learning as much as I can from Will and Katie.
Right. And so you have 5 horses of your own, you said, right? So obviously we know Cuddy, you know, what are the other ones? Tell us a little bit about them.
So now I've had 4. I've got one of them I sold to a wonderful little kid on the East Coast. I've got Cuddy Sark, my big time horse. And I've got Cooley Dream Catcher, who is coming 8 this year. And he's going 2-star long. Hopefully he'll move up to 3-star in the fall. And then I've got 2 young mares. One's name is McKenna Van Het Gavershoff Z.
Oh, my.
It's quite the name.
Quite the name. And I got her from Ireland from a show jumper named Greg Broderick. And she's had a bit of a slow start. She had a bit of an injury that had to be fixed, but she will hopefully get out this fall, and she's really cool, and she's 5. And then I've got my dream horse. I call her like my little Barbie horse. It's a coming 5-year-old mare named Oasis, who I bought off a video in England, which is crazy, and everyone thinks I'm insane. But I had a good friend, Kimmy Cesari, who recommended me to buy her. She had rode her for the breeder a lot and thought it was a lovely horse. And so I bought her off a video, and she's genuinely probably the most talented animal I have ever met in my entire life. So I'm just enjoying being a part of that one.
I bet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, do you do any sort of syndication or anything with these horses?
I'm trying right now to put together some syndicates to try to bring over some more young ones. I really like starting them young. I've always done it, you know, because I don't quite have the financials to go buy the maid. And I really, really love the breeder that I work with Oasis as well. So to find owners that could help me bring over quite a few more and, you know, train them, sell them, or train them and keep them is ideally the goal.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was good. Being with Will, I was going to ask if you ever had a chance to ride, is it Chintonic?
Oh, yeah.
I have not. Oh. I want to so badly, but I would probably mess him up. So I told Will, I was like, I don't want that responsibility.
Be like, come on, Will, just give me a dressage lesson on him. Like, that's all.
He's amazing, but I don't think he's not as easy as people think he is. Watch him. Will is he's so perfect, and that horse just gets along with him so well. But I don't think I would look near as good as Will looks on him.
Yeah, they make an amazing team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that horse. Wow. You just see him coming, you're just like, oh my God.
And he's such a character in the barn too. Like, I love going to shows where he's at, or like if we go to WEC and we take him, because he's just so funny.
Yeah. What's his personality like?
He's quite funny. Like, he's just a bit anxious. So he like, you will have him by the ring and he'll be all bug eyed and we'll go over and give him a treat. And he's like, oh, okay. Just like kind of. So.
That's funny. Oh, that's so funny. So, what are you got your big time horse, Cutty Sark, you got these other up and coming horses. What are your future goals with them?
I mean, in my head, in a perfect world, I would love to do a 5-star Cutty before he retires. I think if there's any horse that I want to do it on, it would be him. Like, he's the most freak of nature on cross country. And like, the other two phases are a bit difficult, but I think if there's any horse that I would trust to take me around my first 5-star, it'd be him.
How old is he?
He's going to be 15 this year.
Oh, okay.
Which makes me sad, but he's still got some years in him.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would really love to do Le Leon on the young horses. I've always wanted to experience it, and I think they're nice enough to spend the money to go over there and do it. So I think that would be my biggest goal with them.
Man, Le Leon is just so cool. Like, yeah. It's just such a cool event.
Yeah. I just like to go and just watch.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you put it out there so you never know. It'll happen. It's going to happen.
I know. I'm going to have good karma. I'm going to jinx myself.
Nah, good karma. Oh. So, Samantha, we are going to play quick fire questions. And I know you know the show. And Quick Fire Questions is brought to you by Red & Goat Equestrian. Check out their all-weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. And it's 5 questions. You don't have to be quick, but we do have strict grading at the end, don't we?
Something like that.
Something like that. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Favorite rider growing up?
Okay, this is going to be a funny answer, but I started so late and I'm from such a small area that like I honestly didn't know who like Boyd, Phillip and all of them were until I was honestly lived here. So I'd have to say I think people like Alyssa Phillips and Cornelia Dorr and Shelby Brost, I grew up watching them at Young Riders and I always looked up to them because they had so much success so young And I thought that was really inspiring. So I'd have to say them.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. You know, like, you're seeing these young girls, like, on top of the world, basically, you know, the eventing world, and doing very well. And they still are. And, mm-hmm. you know, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. And Cornelia, goodness, she's how far along is she now?
I think she's due soon, I want to say. But really? That is like the most talented rider the world's ever seen.
She is. I think I looked like her when I was 2 months pregnant. I mean, she.
I know. She's so gorgeous. I'm jealous.
I know. Yeah, right. I know. If she's due any day, I don't, oh my goodness, I did not look that good. All right. Favorite event to compete at?
Ooh, okay. I wanted to say Red Hills, but that's no longer, but I went to Morven this fall and that was absolutely breathtaking. So I'd have to say that one.
You know, that it's Morven's not far from us, but that's one place I haven't been to. And seeing the pictures, I'm like, I would love to be there.
You have to go at least once in your life. Everyone told me, they're like, you know, Sam, it's a big four long. It's got so many hills and you really have no appreciation to it until you get there. And it is just stunning. The leaves are red and the mansion in the background and the footing is perfect. And that is like a four long on steroids. Like it really could be a 5-star if they wanted it to be. And it is genuinely like the most fun I've ever had in a show.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
I know there's spring ones coming up in a couple of weeks.
I don't know much about the spring one, but the fall one is pretty special, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to see that. I maybe I'd make a little trip.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box? Look at our thinking.
I'm such a superstitious person, but I don't have any like super weird ones, I have to say. I think something I do every time before I leave the box is like right when I go in, when she says 30 seconds, I always say a prayer that everyone comes home safe and that I bring my horse home and he's happy regardless of how the day went. For me and everyone, just because I don't want anyone to ever have a bad day. It sucks really bad. So I'd say that would have to be the one thing I do every time in the box.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yes. Not just bring yourself, you and your horse home safe, bring everyone safe. So I think she gets double the points there. All right. Do you have any hobbies outside of horses?
Oh gosh. I mean, I would used to say soccer, but I don't really do much other than horses nowadays. I do like running when I have time. I guess that could be a hobby.
There you go.
Does it count as a hobby?
Yeah, I'll count that.
He runs too. For me, it's not a hobby. It's work. It's torture. I hate running. I hate it.
It's once you get over that, it's not too bad.
He just did a half marathon on Saturday.
Did you really? Yeah. How'd it go?
Wasn't exactly my day, but it was also pouring down rain and it was just
flooding. It was nasty here on Saturday.
The following day was beautiful. Yeah. I'm kind of wishing it was one day later, but.
And you were running in the mud? It wasn't on the road?
Well, it was on the road, but it was like a lot of the course was like flooded and everything because it was rain or shine and definitely rain.
Oh, that sucks big time.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Yeah. It was just gross. All right. So final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Okay. I was tied between two. There's a really cool dressage horse named Botticello that an American rider named Charlotte Jorst has. And I would love to have a sit on that one. Or Bubby Upton's Magic Roundabout. I think that is like the most epic cross-country horse. If you've ever seen a video of it, it looks like so much fun.
Huh. Okay. I have to look both of them up. I've never heard of either one. I have to look them up.
They are, Botticello, I think, is just stepping up to Grand Prix, and he's I mean, the videos of him look, I think that can be like the next Olympic gold medalist. Like, he's unreal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Bubby, I think, could go around a four long on the buckle and the horse would just jump anything. He's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to look up, especially that dressage horse. Like, I like seeing that, especially like you're saying, like, could be like the next gold medalist. Well, it's nice knowing that it's an American horse.
Yeah.
Keep it here if it's that good.
Europeans, they've had their shot.
Awesome. Well,
A plus plus.
N plus gives extra points. Good job.
So, Samantha, you've obviously have done a whole lot in a very, very condensed, short, you know, career that you've had so far. What advice would you have for a young rider looking to make it in this sport?
I think a big thing is you've got to find your people. You know, you've got to find your coaches who are going to get you where you want to be, but also not always tell you what you want to hear. Like, if you've got to have someone that has your best interests in mind and is always going to be there for you, the good and the bad days, because there are going to be a lot more bad than there are good. But I think the fastest way to get better in this sport is to just surround yourself with people who want you to get there. I think that's the biggest thing, because it's hard enough. You don't need people who, you know, don't have your best interest in mind making it go slower. But I think the other thing that comes with that is you've really got to be good about going into these programs with an open mind. You know, everyone's different. Everyone's got their own style. And I see it so often, like, kids will start working for someone, and the first time they don't agree with something, they just either run away and quit, like, working for that person, or, you know, like, go find someone else. And I think, you know, everyone has something to teach you, even if you maybe not agree with it. It's another tool in your toolbox you might find useful later. And I think the more open mind you can have and just take as much advice in and learn as much as you can, the faster you're going to move along. Like, you've got to have a bit of humility to your own ego and just, you know, not get a big head to yourself and get, you know, where you think you know everything. I think you've got to be a bit, act like you know nothing, because that's the fastest way you're going to get better, is just having people help you and letting them help.
Good advice. Very good. I've seen that too, in a couple of different programs where, it's like, you go and you meet the new working student, and it's like 2 weeks later, it's like, hey, where's Susie? You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, she left. It's like, she couldn't hang. It's like, well, what happened?
I've seen people come into a program and, like, I mean, there's just the craziest things that can be different. Like, you know, how we wrap the bridles, the O'Connors, is how we wrap them differently at Coleman's. Yeah. And so, like, there was one time there was a girl that came in and, you know, we tried to teach her how to wrap the bridles, how they wanted to be wrapped. And she, like, was like, oh, no, like, I know what I'm doing. And I think you just got to just have zero ego about it and just take it in and just try to learn from it, even if it's not what you agree with. And obviously, like, if it comes down to horsemanship, maybe don't always agree with things that you think are wrong. But
right.
I think you've just got to, you know, just put your ego to the side and just take it all in as much as you can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially, yeah, like the little things, like every, no matter where you work, whether it's in a horse world or in the banking world, every place does something different. And you just learn their process, and you can say, hey, I know you should do it this way. Why do you do it this way and not this way? Don't just right away say, I'm not doing it that way, because that's not how I've always done it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little bit the other thing too, is like, you've got to go to people that you like the way they ride, you like their style, and you want to ride like that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you go to someone and expect to be riding completely different than them, then they're probably not going to be able to teach you that different style.
Right.
Like, people ride the way they do because it's how they've been taught and that's how they know. And I think you've really, you know, go to someone that you look up to and say, I want to look like them. And they will most likely 9 times out of 10 be able to teach you how they ride, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Wow. Good advice. Just to go back to a little bit, not to change the subject, but you said that because I meant to ask you this earlier. You said that you're going to be going to Virginia.
Yes. So I am so grateful to Katie and Will for letting me tag along. They have a beautiful new farm up in Virginia. And I think they're going up, I think, after Kentucky, but I have to stay for finals first week of May. And so we'll go from May, I think, until November, I want to say, which is a big change. You know, like we just built this beautiful farm, and kind of packing it all up and moving my life for 6 months is a little crazy, but I'm so excited because I haven't ever lived up there. That's going to be a big change.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you said like the borders and everything, are they going to go with you or are they going to stay in your place in Ocala?
I was lucky this winter, all the borders were seasonal. So they are leaving around the same time, which ended up being perfect.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so you have finals coming up. What are you going to college for?
So I like to torture myself. I finished a bachelor's in clinical psychology, and now I am finishing a second bachelor's in accounting and financial advising.
Okay.
Which I don't plan on using either of them, but
no, you will. You will. The accounting and well, at least accounting, because you need to know that for your business.
Yeah.
So
it has been really helpful, you know, to like actually sit down and like be able to like manage the numbers and mm-hmm. do it myself, because people pay accountants a lot of money to do all this for them. And so yeah. have the knowledge to do it myself has been very eye-opening.
Yeah. And then knowing about financial advising, you could just advise yourself like where to put your money and how to handle it. So it'll come in handy.
I mean, I think most financial advisors would not tell me to ride horses because it's not maybe the most intelligent investment, but I don't listen to that part.
Yeah, just ignore that part. Just
you're already in the hole. Now try to, you know, work your way through it.
That's funny.
Awesome. So, and sort of on that, so we like to give everyone a chance to shout out, you know, any sponsors and supporters that they have. So who do you have backing you right now?
I've got a really lovely group, I have to say. One of my biggest sponsors, and they've been with me for such a long time, is Arion Saddles. Savon, the owner of the company, has been a really good friend of mine for years, and they make the most beautiful saddles. Another one would be Fun Bonnets. A very wonderful lady in Canada owns this company, and I really love working with them. And Seminole Feed. They are a local feed based in Ocala, and they are distributing throughout the U.S. now. And they have been game-changing, keeping Cuddy a bit toned down, as well as Bifid Supplements. They're a relatively new company that came over from Germany, and the research behind the company is amazing.
Very cool. Yeah. And so you said the bonnets. Now, the fun part stands for something. What does this stand for?
For your nag. I think horse and Canada, I guess.
I did see that and I was like, that's kind of funny. For your neck bonnets. Oh goodness. And then so we'll wind things down, but definitely want to give a huge thank you to Frankie and Athletics for helping set this up. You know, she was like, you got to have Samantha on, and of course I was like, absolutely. And so definitely a big thank you to Frankie. And I guess you're now working with Athletics as well, correct?
Yes, she's been amazing. And like, I have to say, I didn't quite know like really what Athletics detailed. And then now that I'm in it, the amount of marketing and PR and just advising that she gives you is very important. Like, young riders can be a bit lost, especially if you don't have someone like Will, you know, kind of giving you advice every now and then. And Frankie is like the person I would call in the middle of the night and say, hey, I'm having this issue. Like, what do I do? And she would answer without any question, which has been amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, she's definitely a great person. I mean, mm-hmm. just in general. And mm-hmm. we love working with her and Athletics has just been definitely need it in this world, you know, for eventing and just riders in general.
Yeah, really.
So, all right. Well, Samantha, I mean, this is great. We had a great time talking with you. But final question, how do people follow along? How do they follow your journey?
So I have an Instagram, which should be SamanthaTinney_eventing, as well as a website, which should be SamanthaTinneyEventing.com, and a Facebook, which is just my name, Samantha Tinney.
Okay. All right. So what we'll do is we'll put all that in the show notes so people can check your website out and your Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. So, wow. So Samantha, this was so much fun. Yeah. I mean, it's been about an hour. I feel like we could just stay here all night and just talk, but we had a great time and it was so nice meeting you, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you guys. It was so much fun.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.